You make the darkness run and hide. You bring the broken back to life. Only you can, only you can. You set me free from every chain. You fill my heart with songs of praise. Only you can, only you can. Jesus, you're the only reason that I'm even breathing. I am wide awake. My heart beats only for your glory. My head drinks up for you to hold me. My soul sings, Father, you are holy. My feet dance to your rhythm, to your rhythm. Every beat is calling, every beat is calling out your name.
Do you guys want to stand up and sing this with us? I feel like this is a stand-up song.
You left the glory of your throne to bring us a runaway back home. Only you can, only you can. You give me love, you give me life. You keep me dancing through the night. Only you can, only you can. My heart beats only for your glory. My hands reach up for you to hold me. My soul sings, Father, you are holy. My feet dance to your rhythm, to your rhythm. Your freedom is consuming. I feel it rushing through me. I'll never be the same. My heart beats only for your glory. My hands reach up for you to hold me. My soul sings, Father, you are holy. My feet dance to your rhythm, to your rhythm. Every beat is calling, every beat is calling out your name.
Thank you guys for standing and singing along with us. You can have a seat. My name's Emily, and I'm glad to welcome you this morning to The Well, where it is the start. It is our first Sunday to meet together in the new year. I think it's super cool that we start our day declaring that every beat, that everything declares the glory of God. And that's what we hope for this new year, is that everything that we would do here would declare the glory of God, and that we would be following in the path that he lead and in his rhythm for the new year. So The Well is a service of First United Methodist Church here in Long Beach, and we're really glad that you picked today to be with us. Hopefully, as you came in this morning, you got a bulletin. It looks like this. And inside there, there's some things that are happening in the life of our church that you can check out. In the also in here along the bottom is a part that you can fill out, if mom will unfold. There's a part that you can fill out and drop that in the offering baskets later on in the service, or hand that in at the next steps table out in the rotunda. This is if you want to find out more about who we are, if you want to get in touch with us, if you want us to learn a little bit more about who you are, if you just want us to know that you were here today, that's a great word for you to communicate with us, and drop that in later in the service. So today we are talking about our vision for the new year for 2020, and we are going to spend a little bit of time thinking about, you know, what all the great things that God did last year and see what he has in store for us in the coming year. And as we continue in our service, we're going to start out with a prayer and just ask God to continue leading us. Then we'll sing a little bit more. So you guys pray with me. So God, we come to you this morning, this first Sunday of a new year, and we just declare that this is a year that we're going to see your glory. and that we're going to dance in your rhythm and we're going to follow where you lead us. And so, God, I just pray that this morning that your presence would be real to us, that we would recognize that you're here, you come before us. You chase after us when we try to run away, and God, you want to draw us closer to you. So today, I just pray that you would help us to open our hearts, that we might be able to hear a little bit more about who you are, God, what your plan is for us, not only as individuals, God, but your plan for us as a church, where you want us to go, who you want us to reach in the new year. God, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our example of how to live. We want to know more about who he is today. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, well, if you'll stand up and tell somebody good morning, that you're glad to see him. Go Saints, if that's who you are today. I see some people out there. Tell somebody good morning. All right, you guys ready to make your way back to your seat? If you'll stay standing and sing along with us, that would be super awesome. Hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Song because it gives us a declaration to sing whenever we find ourselves in a tough spot, and it reminds us of who God is and how much he loves us. And the next song we're going to sing is another song we sang a lot over the past year called Reckless Love, and we really like this one because it's just a reminder of how God pursues us and how much he wants to find us and draw us to himself. So we're going to sing that one next.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. No, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. Foe, Still you love all for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt nowhere, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I'm good enough, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Lonely, overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Can have a seat as we move into our time of offering, and this is a time where we give our gifts back to God. If you're a person who considers the Well or First United Methodist Long Beach your home, this is your opportunity to give a gift back to God that we can use for your ministry here. If you're a guest with us this morning, man, we're so glad that you're here, that you chose today to come. Our guests, you guys are welcome to participate in the offering if you want to, but certainly don't feel obligated to do that, especially if it's your first time here with us. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to sing another song. You're welcome to stand back up as we sing that one, or sing however you feel led when we get there. But let's say a prayer. So, God, in this time, we bring you our offerings. We know, God, we just sing about how you're a God who gives first, even when we're far away. You gave yourself to us. So, God, I just pray in this moment that we would think about your generosity to us as we might give generously this morning of ourselves. God, so that people who are far away from you right now might be drawn near, might get to come hear about who you are because of what we give this morning. Jesus is our ultimate example of that, God, and it's in his great name we pray. Amen. Amen.
great I am, a crown of thorns upon his head, the Father's heart displayed for us. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Lifted up on Calvary's hill, we curse your name, and even still, you bore our shame and paid the cross. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujahs to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Offer up this sacrifice for every sin. Our Savior died, the Lord of life, can't be contained. Our God has risen from the grave. Oh, our God has risen from the grave. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujahs to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. When the age of death is done, we'll see your face bright as the sun. We'll bow before the King of Kings. Oh God, forever we will sing.
Sing it out, guys.
Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Behold the Lamb, the story of redemption written on his hands. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. We sing your praise, endless hallelujahs to your holy name. Jesus, you will reign forevermore. The victory is yours. You reign forevermore. The victory is yours. Jesus reigns forevermore. The victory is yours.
And God, that's our prayer for the coming year, that we would be able to behold you, and that we would, no matter what happens, God, through all the highs and lows, that we would always be singing your praise. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We'd love at this time to invite our kids who are ages 3 years old to second grade to head out to the Well Junior. You guys can go to the back, meet your leaders there, and then families, you can pick them up in their classrooms down the hall today.
Whenever I run, you come and chase me. Wherever I go, you're always there. Every time I fall, you catch me. And when I hide, you hold me tight and remind me who I am. No high, no depth could take us from your love. No lie, no death could undo what you've done. The future and the past are yours. My life is in your hands. And all these things are...
All right. Happy New Year. Man, y'all excited about it, ain't you? All right. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new decade. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling really old. And I don't know what it is. I mean, usually, like, it's the first of the year, and I'm like, let's go get this. And then I'm like, it's 2020. Like, I remember it wasn't that long ago when they told me to turn my computer off at midnight, right? Because the whole world was coming to an end. At 2000, right? That was just the other day. It was 20 years ago. It's crazy. And so anyways, but it is a new year, and with every new year, there's new opportunities and new beginnings. And so we are excited about that, and I'm grateful that you're here. I believe that there's no better time. In fact, I'll even go on to say, like, there's no better time to take a step forward in your spiritual journey than today. Not just because today is the day, today, even tomorrow I'd say today too, right? You get what I'm saying? But especially at the first of the year, a lot of people making resolutions, taking aim on what's ahead, and really there's no better time that you could plug in here at the Well allow us to walk with you and to take those next steps toward growing closer to Jesus and growing more faithful in your discipleship. And so if that's your aim or your goal, we're really glad you're here. If it's not, we're glad you're here too anyway, right? We are so glad to be together and to take this journey together. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks today and three more weeks looking at who we are as a church. And so we've entitled this series Vision 2020 because we want to narrow the focus. We want to focus on what matters most and really kind of peel back the layers and find out who God is calling us to be. And just like every new year, I think it's easy to look ahead, but I think sometimes we forget to look behind. Our culture would drive us to say, always look ahead, forget what's behind you. Even Paul at some level would tell us, you know, forget what's behind, move on, chase what's next. But I also think there's plenty of other opportunities in Scripture and even not just opportunities, but I would say even directives to look back on God's faithfulness in the past. And so I was able to spend some time last week because, number one, I didn't have to preach last week. And so, first and foremost, I want to say thank you to Lori Cripple for filling in and, yeah, doing a better job than I would have if I was here. And so, you guys get a treat. And, so anyways, I'm grateful for her. I know that it's a busy season. And believe it or not, it's not always easy to write a sermon. And so, I know that she put a lot into that. And so, I'm grateful for her service to that. Even though she would not call herself a preacher, I think she does a phenomenal job. And so I'm glad you guys were able to be with her last Sunday. I was able to take some time away, and during that time I was able to kind of look back at some things, and I was kind of, I don't know, I was blown away as I looked back across 2019 at some of the fun stuff we did, some of the exciting things that we did, some of the tough things that we did, some of the just accomplishments that we had. And so I wanted to share some of that with you. First and foremost, you know, the heartbeat of our church is our community groups and our Sunday schools, like these smaller discipleship groups that where we gather together, we dig deep into the scripture, we pray with one another, we do life with each other. I mean, I love what we do on Sunday morning, both here and in our very traditional service at our main campus. Like those are incredible moments and the hour on Sunday that we spend together. But those times outside of Sunday morning, for those of you who have invested your time and energy into a community group or a Sunday school class, I would be willing to bet, like myself, you would say that has been valuable time. And I've been, you know, for me as the pastor, I get to sit kind of in the driver's seat and I get to see the fruit of what's going on there. And so I wish sometimes that you got to see what I got to see. And so so we've had a lot of groups that have met over the last year. We've had some ongoing Sunday school classes. It's just great to see that God is stirring and working in that. We're going to talk a little bit more about community groups, which, by the way, shameless plug over here to the left, we're going to be launching some new ones very soon. And so be on the lookout even as early as next week. If you have any interest in facilitating a group, like hosting one in your home, and by facilitating, like, you don't have to be a biblical scholar or a biblical expert. You simply have to be willing and available to facilitate a conversation so that the whole group might grow closer to Jesus and become more like him. You can see myself, Jenny Gates. We'll talk more about that next week. But that's the heartbeat of our church, like right down in the middle of it. And so for those of you who have not invested in that, might I suggest that as you look toward 2020, that you would consider what that might look like. There's a lot of growth that's happening there. We've also done some fun stuff, okay? Some really fun things. How many of y'all remember Vacation Bible School? Yeah. All right. Can you believe we're already halfway back to Vacation Bible School? Isn't that crazy to think about? Like, literally, we're halfway there already from last year. Man, we had, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we had over 150 volunteers to serve our Vacation Bible School. Yeah. That's the only way that it happens. But more importantly than that, we had children. They have never walked through the doors of our church that came. They were fed an incredible meal. They were welcomed with open arms by really enthusiastic adults and students who were volunteering. They were given an opportunity to have fun, but also to engage with a biblical story. And so the work that you guys put into that and what our church does to create that space, you have no idea. You have no idea what potentially God is working in those moments. And so as we look back on 2019, I am so grateful for the work that you do, for your obedience and God's faithfulness. Vacation Bible School was a blast. I believe we're going to see fruit coming out of that, not only this year, but for years to come as children continue to grow in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus, their Lord. And so not only did we have fun at Vacation Bible School, but we also had a pretty exciting Easter egg hunt where you guys brought literally thousands of Easter eggs and we dumped them off the top of a fire truck just because why not, right? But you also, let me remind you, like, you created a space and a moment and an experience for children that may have never come to church before to be able to see that, you know, just because you follow Jesus doesn't mean you have to be crazy or weird. I mean, I guess that is kind of weird, but you know what I'm saying. But also, we followed that up with a worship service where we exalted the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who defeated death when he came back to life. And we got to celebrate that, and you guys were part of that, and I can't wait to see what Easter 2020 looks like. It's coming, and I'm excited about it. Also, fairly recently, we had our trunk or treat, and when we set up at the parking lot at our main campus, and you guys, again, poured on the candy, because how else are we going to reach the kids of this next generation but feed them candy, right? Whatever works. But the goal was to engage with our community in a way that we might begin to build relationships so that we might be the church, so that we might be able to reveal to them who Jesus is by doing life with them. Jesus ate at the home of sinners. Like he went and visited with people and he did life with them. And I believe that every time you and I throw a party, when we dump Easter eggs off a fire truck, or when we give out candy sitting out in a parking lot and we decorate our vans all crazy, we are creating a space where we're sharing a meal with someone, where we are doing life with them in the hopes that we might be able to engage them with the good news of the gospel. And so I'm grateful for that, and I can't wait to see all of your cars decorated next year in October for our Trunk or Treat. It's going to be a blast, and it'll be an opportunity for us to connect in new ways. Not only that we have a lot of fun, but also we did things that weren't just for ourselves, and they weren't just outreach things, but they were service opportunities. And you guys are incredibly generous with your time, with your energy, and with your money. And so this last year, some of the things that we were able to do, we took some adults because of your financial generosity and because some of you were willing to take time out of your schedule. We were able to go to Texas and assist with some flood relief. We hung some drywall. Our students, our children were able, our youth were able to go back later and mud and tape and finish out the drywall. Like, we were able to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus because you were willing to give of yourself. You were willing to take the kingdom beyond Long Beach and deliver it to those who perhaps need to see Jesus. Not only did we go to Texas, but we had students that went to Panama City and continued their work there. And not only did we do things that far out, but we even sent college students. We were able to invest in send college students like Sarah Jane Bishop to Costa Rica. And we were able to send Grace Bennett to Africa. Like, your work, your prayers, your gifts, your investment when you lead them in their Sunday schools and in their youth program and all of that, when you do that, you're investing in these moments, even though they may come years down the road. It's happening. 2019 was a great year. I mean, it really was. We got to do some exciting things, and it's very evident that God has been incredibly faithful to us. And what's beautiful from where I sit is that I get to see not only God's faithfulness, but I see your obedience. And I'm telling you, when your obedience lines up with God's faithfulness, incredible things happen. Incredible things happen. Not only have we served beyond the walls of our church, but we've also served beyond the walls here in our own community. You guys are some of the most generous people I've ever met when it comes to serving those right here in your own backyard. Through our Backpack Buddy program, we have sent countless meals home with children who may not be able to get a hot meal over the weekend. And you guys, because of your financial support, because of your willingness to bring items, your willingness to come and put all of those things in those dadgum Walmart bags, like, it's crazy. Like, I don't know how the people who pack, like, it's, you're special, okay? Because, like, those, when I see Walmart bags, I don't know why, but it just is like, that's like work. And you tie them up so that this kid can receive this gift, and it can get slid into their backpack, and no one ever knows the difference. And you will never be thanked by them personally, more than likely. But here's what you're doing. You're investing in the kingdom of God. And somehow they know that this gift that is coming to them is coming from somewhere. And you and I don't need to be thanked for that. Our hope is that they believe somehow that there's someone beyond themselves and someone beyond those around them who cares about them, and that is the God of all generosity and all love. Not only do we help see that Backpack Buddies happens, but on a monthly basis, there are homeless people all across the coast who receive a hot meal, again, because of your obedience to follow out the call of God through our Open Table ministry. And you go and you feed constantly, like, whether it's raining, whether it's sunshine, whether it's cold, whether it's hot, there is a meal that will be served. And those who are not able to provide for themselves for whatever reason, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that on that Saturday, they're going to get fed because of your faithfulness and your obedience to God. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I believe that 2020 holds even bigger opportunities for us to invest in that same way. Not only do you serve at Open Table, but we also have a group that serves the Seashore Mission in Biloxi on a very regular basis, serving some of those same people through that, but also there have an opportunity there to take showers and to apply for jobs and just do some general casework. And so for the work that you do there, we're so grateful for that. Also, even just a couple of weeks ago, we had Jeannie from CASA who was here, who leads efforts to be advocates for children that are in the foster care system. And so you guys have in the past fed meals to those who are going through training. Many of you, or some of you, have gone through the training. In fact, shameless plug here, starting Tuesday, there's another training. There's an opportunity for you to become a CASA. And I don't think it's too late to jump into that. It's not too late until Tuesday. It's not too late. If that's something God has placed on your heart, we have an opportunity to continue to reach out to our community. 2020 is going to be our best year yet. I'm confident and I'm excited to see. Also, very recently, through our Christmas Eve lunch, how many of you were able to go to Christmas Eve lunch? You were there? Yeah. It was amazing. Like, it was fun. The food was phenomenal. I got to see people I hadn't seen in a long time, and I got to sit down and eat lunch with people who I may never have an opportunity to do that in any other situation. And so there were a lot of people who we have an ongoing, and let me just say, too, we have an ongoing relationship, which is so important, with some of these people who are just struggling to make ends meet, and we provided a hot Christmas meal for them, and you did that through your faithful generosity, and I'm so grateful for that. And so thank you for those of you who led that and those of you who served there and those who simply just came to eat and to share share your company with those who were around you. And also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our Angel Tree ministry. Like, how cool is that? Those are gifts that we give, generosity we provide to students in our local community. And we get to bless them because in light of the gift that we receive in Jesus. And it is our hope and our prayer that they see that and they know that there is a church that loves God so much, must be because he loves them so much, that they're willing to bless us. And so thank you for your generosity. I'm overflowing. When I look back, my heart just swells up because I, as a pastor, it makes me incredibly proud, but also incredibly excited because even as we look back, I'm only more hopeful for what is ahead. It only makes me get more excited about what is in front of us. You guys are so incredibly generous, and I believe that our best days are ahead of us. I believe that the best really is yet to come. And as we look back, we'll see that God has been faithful the entire way. God has not left us. He has blessed and used every moment of our willingness and our obedience. And so I would just encourage you, as we look to what is ahead, to see an opportunity and to act on it. Let me read this passage to you. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. This is Paul, and he's having a conversation with the church at Ephesus. I would echo these words to you, and so I just invite you to hear these coming from Paul, coming from God as he looks down on you. When I think of all of this, Paul says, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit, that Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it may be too great to fully understand. Then you'll be made complete in the fullness of life and power that comes from God. What a blessing spoken over us. Paul goes on to say, now, all glory to God. All glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within you, within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul says, may God bless you infinitely more. As we look back on what God has done in our life, I hope that you and I will never get caught looking backwards and saying, let's just do that again. But I hope that you look forward to the future and you say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you for leading us thus far. Show us what's next. And may it be infinitely greater. May it be far more than we could ever imagine or dream or think, so that your kingdom might be advanced, so that glory might be lifted to your name. Not only did Paul mention this to the Ephesians, but when he was writing to the Philippians, listen what he says in his opening prayer to the church in Philippi. He says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray. I make my request for all of you with joy, for you've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. 2019 was a great year. God has been incredibly faithful to us. He has began a good work in us. And I believe, along with Paul, that we are not done yet. That our best days are ahead of us. That the best really, really is yet to come. So what might it look like? I don't know. I hope we get to continue to do some of the things that we've been doing. I hope we see an increased amount of generosity. Not because we want to just be bigger and better. Not because we just want more of your money. But I believe that when we participate in what God is calling us to do, we ourselves grow and we are blessed. So the more that we give of our time, of our energy, of our influence, of our resources, as we pour that out as an offering to God for the sake of the kingdom, I believe that God takes that, uses it, and advances the kingdom. It becomes a reality. The kingdom becomes a reality for those who are farthest from him. And we get to see that just our place in the process, we get to see God in a much clearer picture when we trust him with all that we are and all that we have. We get to see God for who he really is when we step out in faith and we trust him and say, God, we've seen you do this in the past. We are praying and hoping that you would do immeasurably more. And so we're walking in that direction. And so as we look toward 2020, as we look back on what God has done in 2019, I hope that your hearts are as grateful as mine. And I hope that you'll join with me in praise and thanksgiving for God's faithfulness, not only for last year, but for all the years that have brought us to this place. My deepest prayer is that you would join with me as we faithfully and hopefully anticipate all that God would do in the coming future. Infinitely more. So how does this happen? Well, I think we hope, I think we pray, I think we beg God to do something new, to do something bigger. Not just as a church, but even individually. That God would just explode something within us. I think we begin to beg God through our life of prayer, through a life of searching scripture, through just a genuine hunger and a thirst that God, do something in me, do something through me. But I also believe that there's a practical next step for us to take, and that is to position ourselves in a place, to put ourselves in a posture where God can move and work through us. I think it's one thing to say, God, I want you to move and act and work, but just to go on about life as normal. I don't know that we're always going to see a lot of fruit from that. But I think when we hunger and we thirst and we beg and we ask God to move and work, and when we begin to walk in that direction and we position ourselves at a place where God can move and work, we really begin to see the fruit. Listen what happened. If we expect that to happen or want that to happen here, I think the best place we can do is to see how God did it to start with, back when the church first started. And so we look back at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Listen what happens. Now, just to bring you up to speed, Jesus was crucified. They put him in the ground. He didn't stay there because he came back to life. He's resurrected. He visits around and makes himself known, and then he ascends back to heaven. And as he does, soon after, he gives his Holy Spirit. He pours out his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And all of those who are there, they believe and they receive the Holy Spirit, and it's this incredible moment. Peter, of all people, stands up, begins to preach, and people all around come and give their life to follow Jesus, to become disciples and followers of Jesus, and they give themselves thousands. And here's what happens. In light of that, here's what happens in the early church. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Now, that's about as systematic as it comes when it comes to being the church. We read here, Luke says, that all believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. We go on to read that a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they have, everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I've read this passage multiple times over. And I read it and I think, man, what an experience that must have been like. Could you imagine what it would have been like to be gathered in such at the onset of the church? I mean, it was like fire. It was just, and it spread like wildfire. But to be living in a community that is defined by its willingness to be together, to be generous, to be sacrificial, and to just do life with. Could you imagine? I mean, this is their whole world, their whole life was defined by this right here. They had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They had devoted themselves to the fellowship with one another, sharing meals, having the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Can you imagine what that must have been like? To sell everything you have, pool all your assets, and live for Jesus. Sometimes I think we're missing what it means to be the church today. And I know it sounds incredibly radical, especially for the preacher to stand up here and say, sell everything you got and bring it to me, we'll kind of parse it out, right? I'm not asking you to do that right now. Here's what I'm saying. We live lives in a silo. I love my family, but we live pretty well separated, right? I mean, we live, and I got neighbors to the left and the right. And even here, we're part of a community group, and we do life together, and I love that. And I think we're all moving in that direction. But I just wonder what it might look like if we truly and honestly made being the church, not coming to this building, which really isn't ours anyway, but not just being at a place at a certain time on a Sunday morning, but I wonder what it would be like if we took serious what it meant to be the church, to live life in that level of intimate community, that level of shared resources and responsibilities. And you know, when I need something, or when I'm in need, I know that there's someone there who is prepared to take care of me and or my family. But also to know that I have the opportunity to invest in someone else in such a way so that no matter what they're going through, that they know that they will never be alone. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the sharing of meals, and the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place. They met together in one place and shared everything that they had. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And as they continued to do that, the Lord added to their number every single day those who were being saved, those who were moving from darkness into light. My prayer for us as a church, you've done a great job. You've done an incredible job of being faithful, of being generous, of following faithfully in the steps of Jesus. And as much as I love looking back, what lies ahead is even better. But I also will say, it's going to cost you even more. It's going to cost you giving yourself away. It's going to cost you being who God needs you and wants you to be, not necessarily who you have decided you want to be. One of the things I didn't mention as I was going through my fancy list, and I know I left off a lot of things, a lot of fun things, a lot of effective things that we have done. One of the ways that you guys have served and been faithful to God It's through the way that you live your life on a day-to-day basis. When you get up and you go to work, and you're gracious to someone who really doesn't deserve it. When you continue to love your children and raise them up and teach them the Word of God, and nobody else sees that and knows that or rewards you for doing so. You continue to walk on a day-to-day basis and to be faithful to your loved one, day by day by day. No one's going to give you a reward. No one's going to stand on stage and say, great job, we appreciate you doing that. But I want you to know that your work there might be the most important. And I would encourage you, as we move toward 2020, as we hope and dream for God to do big things in our life, and as we commit ourselves to live life here as God's people, as the church, I would encourage you, it starts right here. It starts in your own heart, in your own life. Before we can do anything great together, God wants to do a work in your own life. So I encourage you to surrender yourself to Him. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe this sounds like wild, crazy stuff, and you've never said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Maybe you've said that in a prayer, but you've not really believed it or followed it up with your heart. There's no better day than today to give your life, all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the part that needs, the part that has, every part of you, to give it away to Jesus and say, God, I am yours. I've tried, I've done, I've not done a great job. I want you to have control of me because I want to be the best mom. I want to be the best dad. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best wife. I want to be the best worker. I want to be the best employee. I want to be the best employer. I want to be the best neighbor. God, so that your kingdom might advance through my faithfulness. And so I give myself to you. If that's you today, the band's going to come and lead us in a song here in just a moment. I just encourage you today, God, take me. God, I appreciate what you've done. I want you to do infinitely more, but I recognize that none of this happens until I position myself in a place, until I find a posture where you're able and willing to work, until I put myself in a position where I'm devoting myself to your teaching, where I'm devoting myself to being with others, so I'm devoting myself to living a life of prayer. I want to be there, and so take me, Lord Jesus. Do a work in me. If that's you, I would love to pray with you. I'm going to be hanging out right over here. You can come over here. Some people think you're just making an appointment to talk to me about something else. You don't have to hide. Just come talk to me. Nobody will know what we're talking about. We'll pray that God would just stir and work in your life and just do a new thing. If the band will come on up, I'm going to pray for us. God, thank you so much. First of all, for giving us your son, Jesus. When we were farthest from you, when we were living lives of disobedience and rebellion, you pursued us. You came near to us. For that, we are so grateful. And even still, when we know that you're pursuing us still, we go after our own way and we do our own thing. And so we ask now, Lord, that you would give us an opportunity to be made right. We try and we know we can't do it alone. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would convict our hearts and our lives of the places where we are broken and where we are separated from you. And by your grace, heal us, draw us close, restore us, reconcile us to you. God, for the person here today who's never fully handed their life over to you, who's never truly surrendered, I pray that today's the day. Today's the day where they scratch down on a notepad. Today is the day when I give my life fully to Jesus. I trust that he's going to take over me. God, would you give them the courage to step out in faith, to trust you that you will really make good on your promises? And Lord, for those who've been walking faithfully with you but know that you've done a great work in the past, but you're calling them to a new work. You're calling them to a fresh, new level of commitment and devotion. God, would you give them the courage that they might step out and willingly step into what it is that you're calling them to. Lord, we're grateful for this church, for these people, for the opportunity to be in ministry here in this community and far beyond. We ask, Lord, that you would take what we have and that you would use it as a resource, whether it be our money, whether it be our time, whether it be our influence, whether it be our ideas. God, that you would just use all of it to spread the good news of the gospel, to advance the kingdom far beyond our life in this little town. Use us, we pray. We want you to be made known, Jesus. You're our King. You're our Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs,
So we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you for starting your new year with us, just declaring that God is a great God and that He loves us, He wants the best for us, and that truly the best days are ahead for us. We're so glad that you were here this morning, and we'll see you back again next Sunday. Have a great week.